This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this first Sunday in Lent is according to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. By the way, here's your bonus reward for being in Bible study today. Do we remember why Goliath hated David? It's really funny. I forgot about this. Yeah, I know. I'm a pastor, and yet I forgot about it. I'm sorry. I did. I read it, and I'm up there reading it going, no way! He despised him for his youth. St. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, don't despise somebody because of their youth. And he also says, hey, young people, don't despise your elders because of their age. You're messing up the community. So it's just kind of an interesting thing. According to God's will, among having other gods and everything, something that went along with Goliath was, I'm going to despise this guy because of his age. He doesn't know anything about him. That's called an ad hominem. So, anyway, I'm totally not my sermon. I apologize. Now I'll get back on track, mostly. So here's a phrase that I think will come in handy. Good things come to those who... Oh my goodness, I'm so glad you knew that one. Every time I throw one out, I'm always scared, and they're like, they don't know that one. Good things come to those who wait. It's the thing about patience. It's the thing about credibility even. But if there's one thing that's easy to preach but difficult to practice, I would say it is this. Whatever happened to patience? We even talked about this in Bible study today, about people rushing into every type of intimacy. And it's not just in relationships of like a romantic nature. It's everything. I sometimes think that we now sort of, well, I've given up on saying this sort of, but we live in a very instant gratification world. Burger King, they knew what they were doing when they said, have it your way. Come in here, and because I like Burger King, I'm not going to lie. They'll put 4 patties on that bad boy if you want it. They will put jalapenos, 4 patties, peanut butter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I used to work for Burger King. I don't care how crazy you are. I will put that cheese on there. And so but it also says, you know, we can't define something. It has to be always defined by you. We want it our way right away. It really doesn't matter what it is either. We want it the way we like it. We want it right now. And I got to say, the internet hasn't helped me with that sin at all. Do you remember when there used to be that guy that knew everything about, let's say, NASA, right? And you want to know something about NASA. Well, you got to go ask Jimmy. Jimmy knows. He's been studying NASA since he was 9. And so you go there, Jimmy, you're like, what was the first, you know, what was the name of the rockets they used on there? And I think it was the Saturn rocket, right? But I'd have to ask Jimmy. But they used the Saturn rocket. Now I just pick up my phone and go, what was the rockets? I don't have to talk to Jimmy. I don't need you, Jimmy. I got Google. Right? But now I didn't get to talk to Jimmy, who's now kind of a cool guy who can't tell you all he knows about NASA. For me, it was more like rock bands. But I'm like, hey, I really like this guy. What, you know? Then there was the metalheads. But anyway. So there's this idea that I don't have to wait to talk to Jimmy before he gets home from whatever thing he's doing after school. I just do it without him, and I'm alone. But the conversation, you know, it seems like it just can't wait. Like, people can call me in my car, and they have been able to for a long time. I don't have to leave a message at my house. Conversations can't wait. Meals that were enjoyed by the family at dinner time, around the dinner table, think of how easy it is to just do the drive-thru. I'm back to McBurger King, sorry. Maybe I'm hungry. No, I had breakfast. It seems that the family is though we're always on the go. Nobody has time to eat together. It's like a chore to get your family to sit down and eat together. We eat in our cars on our way to somewhere else. Nobody has time to just sit down and visit. Just to talk to him. And I mentioned this in Bible study about sitting there as a middle teenager, 16, and listening to these guys in the Sons of Norway talk about what it was like being 19 and storming the beach at Normandy. I'm like, really? When I was 19, I didn't storm any beaches. But I got to learn something from somebody who did something I wouldn't do. Because I was there, I was present, and I listened. And St. Paul gives us the community of that in our Bible study today. So nobody has time to just talk. And then when Twitter came out, 140 characters. You know what I found out? You can say some pretty mean stuff in 140 characters. But it's harder to say something super kind in 140 characters. So it's easier to go, oh, this guy's a liar. Hey, that's only 16 characters. So we have too many other things to do. We've been blessed with so many great things in this very advanced age that we live in. But the one thing we don't have, the one thing we seem to have lost in a very short amount of time is patience. When looking at our gospel lesson for this morning, we get sort of this glimpse of the devil in action, don't we? Mr. Patience. Trying to tempt Christ after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. It's interesting how the devil goes about his business. He doesn't come at Christ with like pitchforks and fire like in a heavy metal video. He doesn't do that. He comes at him probably looking kind of nice. Probably, I'm going to argue, looking pretty respectful. Because don't forget, he knows this guy. And he walks up to him, but he does what the devil does. Did God really say version of talking to Jesus? He doesn't come at him all scary. Instead, he almost sounds like a little kid on the playground even, daring Jesus to prove his divinity. He did everything but say, I triple dog dare you. If you're the Son of God, what does he say? Prove it. Really, turning stones to bread is how you prove you're God? You find that a little odd? Am I the only one who finds that a little odd? That something, some sort of magician could do? If you're the Son of God, prove it and throw yourself off this temple peak. After all, God will command his angels concerning you to guard you, right? Because now the devil's using the actual Bible in a very deceptive way to try to get Jesus to do his bidding. But once again, I think you kind of forgot who wrote it. Devil's not a one-trick pony, though, is he? Sandwiched in between these two playground dares, he also tries to use the slick salesman approach to Jesus, offering him all the kingdoms of the world. All you've got to do, Jesus, is just compromise a little. Compromise. Just bow to me, and I am willing, magnanimously, I might add, to give you all of these kingdoms. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in me, he's saying. It kind of sounds like the Jungle Book. Anyway, even if it's only for a moment or two, just bow down and worship me and all this will be yours. Do you see what the devil is doing here with his temptations? Do you see what's going on? He's trying to get Jesus to step outside of the Father's plan and instead get some instant gratification, right? He's trying to say, don't do what you're doing, do this. Hey, Jesus, why wait? After 40 days, you deserve it. Aren't you hungry? If you really want to, you can make that hunger go away right now. He's saying that as if Jesus didn't know this. Bow down and worship me, and you don't have to wait, my man. The glory can be yours right now. It's that simple. You know, I've been doing some thinking too. If your father really loved you and he really cared about you, why would he let you suffer and struggle for these past 40 days? That's not how I would act towards someone I loved. Do you see what's happening? Get him to prove his love for you right now. Jump off the temple. And then we'll see if he really does consider you his beloved son like he says. We understand that the devil's temptations are evil. But to frame these temptations within the context of love and instant gratification causes a bit of tension, doesn't it? This is something we do. What if Jesus had sought out a little immediate relief? What if Jesus partook in a little instant gratification? Is it really that bad? Well, when it comes to God's plan of salvation, yes. If you remember what I just said, partaking of the instant gratification the devil was offering was actually stepping out of sight of God's plan, remember? It should have come as no surprise that when the devil quoted God's own word in an attempt to convince Jesus that his way was perfectly acceptable shortcut, he did something funny. And when you're in Bible study with me long enough, you'll know that the Bible must be read in, who knows? Read in its, who whispered context? Because you are correct. Who did it? You did it? You're in. 20 points. I don't know what that means. Okay, but you just got them. 80 more and you get a Starbucks. I don't know. I'll have to cough it up. But now, yes, context. Was he saying it in context? No, not at all. Because it's not like God was like, oh, hey, if you obey Satan and jump off here. No, that's a bad context, right? So he says, God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. That last little bit, all your ways, is part of that the devil conveniently left out. To tell a half-truth is not to tell the whole truth. A half-truth is nothing more than a lie. I ask you, what way is the way of the faithful child of God? Is it the way of God? The way of the faithful child of God is the way that follows God and his word and his will, even when his way hurts. Even when his way goes against your way. Our wants and our desires sometimes have to take this back seat. It is the way of faith that trusts God above all things, even when things seem their darkest or worst. There's the phrase, and I imagine it's true enough, you know, there's no unbelievers in a foxhole. Right? That's the phrase. Well, what are they saying? When things are bad, and I'm arguing if you're in a foxhole, you're not going out for brunch. So I'm arguing that in a foxhole, that means there's bullets and bombs a-whizzing. And you're going, hey God, this is bad. Help. And I guess there is something to be said for that. Meaning, somebody who's in a dire strait, they know, unfortunately, sometimes that's what it takes, but they know that God is over there saying, I got you. It is the way of faith that trusts God. God's ordered plan of salvation is ultimately recognized in an empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. This is why we have the season of Lent. We take this time to repent, to reflect, and to renew ourselves in the ways of the Christian life. Not to become better than other people or anything like that, but to remember, well, I am broken and sinful. And as soon as 100% of us can recognize that, then that 100% of us within this community say, you know what? I have gone the wrong direction on this. And I know that this way has led to this trouble that I've been getting myself into, So I take it and I go all the way around and go this way, because this way is where Jesus is. And it doesn't mean your life's going to get better. It just means you're going the right way. A smooth road that goes off a cliff is not better than a bumpy one that leads you home. Think about it. If Jesus Christ is present in this gospel lesson, was simply a poster boy example of how to fight off the devil and overcome evil instead of being our perfect and all-fulfilling substitute, we would be placed in the very ugly situation of now having to perform up to Christ's perfect standard to be Jesus, which is a creepy thing to say out loud. And we are not up for the job. I don't know about you, but I confess that I cannot do this in my life. If it was that simple, then it would not have taken the death of God Himself on the cross to make amends for you. All it would take is just a little bit more willpower or work ethic to see ourselves through this veil of tears and into eternity with our Heavenly Father. We just have to faithing more, and that's not a verb. Faithing. It is precisely because of the Christ alone reality. This is something that we believe as Lutherans, that there is no salvation under any other name than Jesus Christ. We can't say, well, yeah, he likes Jesus, but you know, she sort of likes SpongeBob or whatever. Doesn't matter. There's no salvation by any other name than Jesus Christ. That's where we get things like faith alone, grace alone, scripture alone, Christ alone. That's a lot of alones. It's precisely because of this Christ alone, though, that our atonement is unique. It is something that God has done for us. And now we're in the first Sunday in Lent. And since the days of our early church fathers, these passages have helped Christians through the ages as they began this Lenten march towards Calvary to refocus their attention on Jesus Christ. Imagine that if your time in Lent this year was spent saying, you know what? I am a Christian. I am somebody who loves Jesus. And you know what? Gosh darn it. I may actually begin to start having a morning devotion. I might start showing up to that Bible study class. Or, you know, I know for any of the ladies here, I don't think Nancy's going to say no to any of them showing up, right? Okay, she said it's fine. Double checking. That means what Nancy said is you are welcome to be there. That's how Christianity is. And so we have this idea that we are people who are trying not to become more Christian, but to more realize what it means to be Christian. That's like a revelation of Lent, is to say, you know what? I am broken, messed up, dumpster fire, who Jesus loves. This dumpster fire might show up to Bible study a couple times. This dumpster fire might, you know, read a devotion, sit and have prayers. It doesn't make you more Christian, but it makes you more aware of who you are as a Christian. So don't go get all ego-y if you come in here and you're like, I don't mean to brag, but I'm like in devotion 7 days a week. Okay, awesome. You know, and I'm glad I'll high-five you, I promise. But it's to say it doesn't make you a more Christian, it makes you a more informed one. Jesus didn't take any shortcuts. He didn't take any quick fixes that life offers us and that we don't so often look for. No! Jesus humbled himself in perfect, faithful obedience to his Father's word, his Father's will, and his Father's way, even when he knew what awaited him along the way. It's going to be very important for us to hear Jesus say, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from my hand. But it is thy will, not mine. That is an important thing that Christians learn. That Jesus is saying, you know what? There are times when you go, if there's another way, if not, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Might have been the first time that was said in the Bible. I'm just saying. So in this way, I won't close with some sort of spiritual pep talk or get rich quick kind of spiel on how Jesus overcame, and you can too. You just got to have more faith. Just try harder. I won't say it because, though, that's wrong. Instead, I close today with a wonderful gospel truth that proclaims that Jesus Christ did it all for you precisely because you couldn't. I close with the blunt but necessary truth that there is no shortcut around pain. There's no shortcut around suffering. There's no shortcut around temptation when you are a Christian living in this world. There's lots of shortcuts for the unbelievers, trust me. There's no other way to salvation other than God's way, and that way, like it or not, it includes the cross. A cross that we are to take up daily in faith as we follow Christ on his narrow way. That's a tough pill to swallow. In faith, you will have crosses to bear. May God grant you a confident, patient faith all your remaining days, so that in all your ways you may be able to recognize and find true comfort in Christ, and get this, in the community he's called together in this place. Remember when I sort of embarrassed the new members by having them turn to you and look at you? And I said, hey, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Will you pray for them? Will you be their brother and sister in Christ? Will you love them as Christian brothers and sisters? And I heard it. I didn't record it, but I heard it. You said, yes, we will, with the help of God. That's a Christian community. You made a confession of faith. Well, we will, but it will be because of God. And you know, St. John, since this is our namesake, I got to throw in occasional St. John trivia. By the end of his life, he was 90 years old. I don't remember now. But he was 90-something, and when you hit 90-something, you're having a long life. But it was said that he would say, even as his voice was failing him, even as his body, his strength had long since failed him, and his injuries had mounted up from the torture he took from being boiled in oil, but he still had this to say to the people when they would carry him in, because he couldn't walk anymore. All right? I'm trying to imagine being carried in. You guys better lift with your legs. That's all I'm saying. But if you carried in John and they would set him down and he would look at everybody, and what would he say? He would say, love one another. That's a pretty remarkable thing. So let's close with a prayer for that. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you show us each and every day how much you love us. Even in the scripture study, we are shown by St. Paul of what it means to love one another. Bless us today and every day to have the hearts that love our neighbors, that love God and our neighbors, that we would be Christians who don't pretend to be perfect, but rejoice in your perfection, that you would give such a wonderful gift to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.